The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
All right, so here's something I'm really excited to talk to you guys about. It's a game called Gods on Kickstarter. It's a virtual reality game, but it doesn't require any kind of headset, so which is really awesome. It's a game where you are a god and you want to take followers, but you have to take care of your followers. You have to beat other enemy gods, raise an army, and use creatures like tigers, lions, and some other animals to fight them. And the VR just looks awesome. It's a bonus. You don't need a headset. You can levitate things, throw off fireballs, squeeze and move people with your hands. It's like you're a god. I mean, it is pretty much what you would expect a god to be. You can almost do anything. You use gestures to attack, play as different characters throughout the game. It's multiplayer as well. And also, what's really cool, and you don't hear a lot about this, is that they are backed by Facebook, who are willing to help them out with some technical assistance. So what's also great is this game is available on PC, Xbox, PS4, Nintendo Switch. But they're also looking to add full support for the Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and PSVR. So it's pretty much every platform that you could think of. And right now, virtual reality is the growing trend. And I really would recommend you guys check out the Gods on Kickstarter. And I will tweet out a link that you'll see on my Twitter feed, which I'm at the WWE podcast. So that link will be available there if you'd like to learn more about the project and maybe contribute and get this game going, because I think it's going to be a really big deal. And I'm super excited about this because I'm a video game fanatic. And when I see something this exciting, I have to tell you guys about it. Again, it's called Gods on Kickstarter. So check that out today, and I think you'll be glad you did.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Sunday, April 28th, 2019. We're going to take a little ride in the Wayback Playback Machine here, and we are going to go all the way back to the year 2000 when The Undertaker returned as the American Badass at Judgment Day in the Iron Man match, the 60-minute Iron Man match between The Rock and Triple H for the WWF Championship. So, unbelievably, that is 19 years ago. Absolutely insane when I think about that and how long ago that was, and the impact that that match had on me as a fan. I mean, at that point, I'd been watching for a few years, and I was at the ripe old age of 15 years old. So I'm going to get through or get to that match and my reactions to it. And now looking back almost 20 years later, looking back at that match and specifically the return of The Undertaker in his all-new American Badass persona. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll also, as always, give you guys some audio on that match so you can relive a little bit of it with me, at least the exciting parts of it, the payoff parts. And so we'll get to that in just a few moments. But first, I'd want to just address a few things. Number one, I want to thank everybody for reaching out to me regarding my request to have a permanent co-host here on the show. A lot of interest in this, and I'm not doing that to toot my horn. I'm just letting you know that there is a lot of interest, and I'm letting you know that because I don't want anybody to think that, if you are not selected to be the co-host, that, you know, there's anything that I hold against you. If you're a previous host, it's nothing of that nature. You know, I don't want anyone taking it personally. It's just, I think that we need a co-host on this show, and your feedback, your poll to me spoke to that. Feedback on Apple Podcasts also referenced that. That this show could use a different voice, a different view, and I totally agree. I mean, it's been how many episodes now, hundreds of episodes that this show has, and it has all been me, for the most part, at times bringing on co-hosts, and I've enjoyed every single one of them, and I want to thank everybody who has participated on this show, but I am sifting through the applications. How about that? That sounds really official, but in reality, I'm sifting through emails and direct messages from Twitter. Those are my applications, if you will. So I'll be likely making my selection at the end of this week. So now let me just say that if you are not selected to be the co-host, doesn't mean I never want you on the show. It means I would love to have you on the show. I'm just basically taking a gamble that the person that I select is going to work out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I really believe that it will, and I hope it will. So I will be doing that by the end of the week. I am traveling a little bit this week down to this New York City for my big boy job that I have. And I'll be doing that for a day or so, a day or two this week, early in the week. And I will be also, of course, keeping up on Raw, keeping up on SmackDown, all of that. That's not going to interfere with my recording schedule in the slightest. And in fact, I actually get more work done when I'm on the road than when I'm at home. Because when I'm at home, I wear many different hats. And that is repairman, dad, husband, everything else. So when I'm on the road, it's just me, which is just crazy. So, and number two, again, guys, I know last time I addressed a little bit of the negativity on some of the reviews I've gotten from people, and first of all, I'm not taking any of that back, okay? It's not me saying, oh, well, a week removed, now I feel bad about saying the things I did about the people that say negative things about me. No, actually, I'm going to double down on it. And just briefly say that I really, first of all, any criticism I get, I always try to take positively, okay? I know that this show is not for everybody. But for people out there that say that, oh, I'm proving your point by complaining about my critics, no. Here's the difference for those of you that don't understand the English language. And I'm not speaking to anybody but a specific fool that is out there just trying to make a name for himself by just somehow ripping me, although that's really kind of a reverse way to do that. And nonetheless, I'm not going to give this individual credit. I'm not going to give him a shout out. I'm not going to give him your username, his name, nothing. What I will say is, because apparently, even though he hates this show and has a list of things that are wrong with it, and apparently I'm proving his point by complaining about my critics, which I'm not complaining. I actually enjoy the criticism I get because it shows me how to improve. Apparently, you're still listening to the show, so thank you, because you are adding to the numbers and downloads of this show. So please continue to listen to the show if you want to continue to rip the show. Well, guess what? You only have one review that you get on Apple Podcasts. You do not get multiples, so enjoy that, too, while you're at it. Some people are just clowns. All right, and trust me, that is a PG way of saying certain words that I can't say because it's PG. So, continue to sit in your mom's basement and ask permission to use her iPad while you type away. All right, let's continue on here, guys, and let's get to the reason why we're here, and that is Wrestling Nostalgia. This is one of my favorite shows of the week. It Might be, actually. I say that a lot, but it is. I think it might be. I enjoy the current product, but there's nothing like taking yourself back in that time machine to when you first saw these moments and made you become a fan. And this is one that was in Judgment Day 2000 for those that have the WWE Network or want to just YouTube it. It is one of my more impactful moments as a fan, one that really made me just commit to the story hook, line, and sinker. And just to set this up, this was The Rock versus Triple H for the WWF Championship. I mentioned that earlier. In a match that is 60-minute Iron Man. I mentioned that too, but what I didn't mention is that when is the last time, and this is more of a question, the last time we saw a 60-minute Iron Man match? That is a true Iron Man match. We've seen 30-minute Iron Man matches over the last 10 to 15 years. We've seen a handful of them. But what about the 60-minute Iron Man match? There's only a few of them in history. The Rock and Triple H. We have, obviously, the most infamous one of them all, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, in which Shawn Michaels ends up defeating Bret Hart after a 0-0 tie for 60 minutes. Imagine the attention span on fans now if you went 60 minutes and did not have a definitive winner in terms of, or not even that, not even a definitive winner, because it's not so unpredictable to end in a tie to have to go to overtime like they did in WrestleMania with Bret and Shawn. But what I think today's fans would have their heads explode about is that there hasn't even been a decisive fall. There hasn't even been a decisive fall, and we have to sit through this. I mean, imagine the fans' impatience today for that. I don't think, at least I don't foresee another 60-minute Iron Man match anytime soon. I would love it. I think that if a program, a feud, a rivalry is warranted for it, I'm for it. I would love to see it. Of course, you have to have a couple things in place. Number one, you have to have a program, as I just said, that is red hot and deserving of this. Number two, you have to have two wrestlers that are in tip-top peak shape to go for that long and not blow up. In other words, get winded, out of energy. They can't continue physically that long. So you have to have two super in shape cardiovascular monsters inside the ring. Three, you have to have those wrestlers also know how to hold the audience's attention for that long. Yeah, we have the Royal Rumble match, which is 60 minutes, okay, typically, but that's also a lot of action back and forth, a lot of special moments, a lot of faces that are able to keep your attention because it's a revolving door of stars and you don't know who's coming next. So you can't use that match as a measuring stick against the success of an Iron Man match, a 60-minute Iron Man match in 2019. But you have to have those three things. You have to have guys that are in amazing cardiovascular shape. You have to have guys that are deserving, the program is deserving of a stipulation of that magnitude. And three, you have to have guys that know how to hold an audience's attention for that long. I would love to see it. I don't want to say never, right, in this business, and it's true. I don't want to say that we'll never see it again, but it's not looking good the way that WWE now likes to position their shows, where everybody gets a trophy, everybody needs to get on the show, especially WrestleMania. Everybody needs a 15 minutes of fame. It's nonsense, but that seems to be their logic. So I wouldn't rule it out. I'd love to see it, but in this particular case with The Rock and Triple H, their programming been really going on for a good solid year before this actually had happened, and it was the next logical step. You had DX backing Triple H and cheated to win. I mean, Triple H was one of the best heels of that generation. He was a master in terms of knowing how to get the crowd to hate him. It was just awesome. And The Rock was scalding hot at this point. And you also have to remember that at this point, Stone Cold Steve Austin was out of commission. He was gone. He was out for surgery, okay? And so with Stone Cold out, The Rock is the man, and now you have Rock facing Triple H for the WWF Championship. And The Rock ties it up. He gets a people's elbow. 5-5, 2 minutes remaining, and then you have DX come in and interfere after Shawn Michaels was knocked to the outside. And here comes The Undertaker to save the day. And again, this was a very stark contrast to what The Undertaker's persona was. I mean, that was the first time in 10... at that point, it was first time in 10 years that Undertaker changed his gimmick. He debuted in 1990 at the Survivor Series as The Undertaker, the Dead Man. And from 1990 to 2000, he was the Dead Man. And so when Undertaker returned, he was always a master of being able to change and adapt and keep things fresh. And this certainly kept it fresh. And it's no secret that Vince McMahon, this is not one of Vince McMahon's favorite creations for the Undertaker character. He'll be the first and foremost to say that if he could, he would probably erase this American badass that he had for The Undertaker. I think he felt that it was not true to who The Undertaker was, at least from the dark side of that Dead Man character. But I think ultimately Undertaker made this gimmick work. And if you go back and look at the American Badass, Dead Man Inc., whatever, you know, persona you want to or tagline you want to give him, he played both heel and babyface very well in that gimmick. It's nowhere near as successful as his Dead Man, original Dead Man. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But I don't think it should be scrubbed from the records of WWE history. I mean, this is a piece of The Undertaker. And I think it was as successful as it probably could have been, and nowhere near as disastrous as it potentially could have been. This could have been a complete disaster. You have The Undertaker coming out on a bike. When I say a bike, not a bicycle, but a motorcycle, coming out there and doing what he did, and I'll let you listen to it in just a moment. And it was the crowd reaction too was really what made this. The crowd absolutely exploded for The Undertaker, even seeing him in a completely new character. Yes, The Undertaker had a long black trench coat, which was the link to the old Undertaker, so it wasn't a 180 degree, he's this, I don't know, this white meat baby face that has a, you know, just cut his hair and is just completely different. This was the old Undertaker, at least linked to the one we're seeing currently at the time. And you got to give Mark Calloway all the credit in the world for this. Even he admitted in interviews after his gimmick debut that it was really weird coming out there basically as himself, because if you guys follow his career, documentaries on The Undertaker, Mark Calloway, he is a motorcycle enthusiast. I mean, he owns a Harley. He has probably several of them. He is just kind of a biker guy, and he came out and was essentially himself. Even his promos after this were much more like humanized. And yes, of course, he went back to being the Dead Man in 2004, which was really awesome, and I was there to see it. So a little bit of a selfish memory there, but for 4 years, this character was able to work. And it's a tribute to Mark, who is probably the greatest of all time, and I'm a Stone Cold fanatic, but The Undertaker might very well be the greatest of all time. And even though some look at this as a blemish on his record, I think it was necessary to keep current with times, feel fresh, not stale. And then when he goes back to being the Dead Man, it feels all the more special. And it was a great way to segue into the character that he ended up being, which was the Dead Man in 2004. And maybe we'll get to that moment somewhere down the line in this Wrestling Nostalgia segment of the WWE podcast. So, okay, before I give you guys the audio, I'm going to take a very brief, momentary ad for the sponsor of the show, and then we'll be right back with the audio of The Undertaker returning in 2000 at Judgment. Hey, so if you're interested in CBD oil and you have an entrepreneurial spirit, I've got a really cool thing for you guys. Right now, CBD oil promoters are looking to expand. There's a business that's been in company for 5 years here, and it's starthempbusiness.com. That's starthempbusiness.com. It's where CBD products are being used worldwide to get customers instant, life-changing results with this miracle plant. They lead the industry with an aggressive 85% commission payout. The company also pays out weekly based on your production, and they also provide flexible work schedules designed to create weekly pay and residual income. Right now, they're looking for independent contractors who are seeking to capitalize on this opportunity. For more information, go to starthempbusiness.com. That's starthempbusiness.com. All right, guys, welcome back. And let's get right to that audio, and then I'm going to give you my reaction and thoughts. So here it is, Judgment Day 2000. Alright guys, so that's just a small piece of the match here, and ultimately Triple H ends up winning because Shawn Michaels saw The Undertaker interfere as the seconds were ticking down. The match was technically still going on, so it ended up being a disqualification for The Rock and a victory for Triple H, winning the Iron Man match 6-5. And what I really liked about this, and I meant to mention this and I'm glad that I remembered, is we had really smart people in the ring. What I mean by that is there was, and I didn't play the whole thing because it would have been like a 5 minute clip leading up to this, but there was music playing as DX was coming in, dismantling The Rock and giving him chair shots and pedigrees, and Shawn Michaels was out. There was music playing on the screen on the Titantron, and it was creepy music with these little girls running around saying, "As I lay my soul down to sleep, I pray my soul is mine to keep," something along those lines, something creepy. And they didn't even pay attention to it. They just continued to focus what was going on in the ring. Smart, something that we don't see today. I would love to see more of that intelligence when it comes to performers, wrestlers in the ring who get constantly distracted by music or Titantron videos in the middle of a match. If they're professional athletes, you concern yourself about the man or woman who's standing across the ring from you. You don't concern yourself with music or lights or Titantron videos. So that was really nice to see that they completely ignored it and just continued to dismantle The Rock. Smart. Smart. I like it. It makes sense. And also, having The Undertaker come back, dismantle the entire McMahon-Helmsley faction. Shane gets chokeslammed. X-Pac gets chokeslammed. Vince gets punched in the face. And Stephanie almost gets chokeslammed. The crowd would have absolutely lost their mind. And I loved anytime Stephanie got her ass whooped by a male wrestler, because she often deserved it and had usually puts her hands on the male wrestler who is just supposed to stand there and take it. I mean, don't get me started in that whole nonsense, but I liked how The Undertaker went for it and Triple H saved her, only to have Triple H get chokeslammed and tombstoned by The Undertaker and costing The Rock the match. Not intentionally, of course. Not intentionally. It was inadvertent and ended up costing The Rock the WWF Championship. So overall, I really thought that that was a moment that stuck with me. I've seen it a thousand times. I've seen that. I can't even count how many times that match. Not in its entirety, of course. I'm not watching 60 minutes of an Iron Man match over and over and over. However, it is just one of those moments that stick out of my brain. And there are many of those that have really just glued me to this product for life. And many of you that are new fans, I really encourage you to go back and listen and watch these things, because it is a stark contrast in style, in presentation, in obviously language and violence, and a little bit of sex, all that kind of stuff. That was just the nature of the beast of TV-14. But when you take a private company public, you have obviously sponsors and you're trying to create a new brand image and be this soft, cuddly company. And so it's a much different product, but it's one that really appealed to me and still appeals to me more than this soft PG product. But nonetheless, I think you will thank me if you're a newer fan and have not seen these moments to go back and listen and watch. You have the WWE Network. You obviously have YouTube, which we all use. Do yourself a service and just watch these moments and listen to the audience. Listen to the crowd. You want to hear what emotional investment sounds like? You don't just want to see it. You want to hear it and feel it? That's one of those moments. Emotional investment. There's a difference between emotional investment and just a reaction or fans trying to be a part of the show. I mentioned that last week, so I'm not going to again, but there's a difference. When you can feel a crowd and you're sitting there at home chanting along or feeling the same emotions they are sitting at home, it's magic. It's magic, and that's called getting lost in the moment and emotional investment, which is something that is unfortunately a really rare thing to happen nowadays in WWE, but I'm a fan for life. Okay, this company is something that I will watch forever. It's now a part of my life. And AEW maybe does too. I mean, I don't know what to expect from AEW. I don't think a lot of people really do. I mean, they haven't even put on a single show yet, but I'm invested. I think it's going to be the cool new thing to watch for a time. The challenge for them is going to be consistency in ratings, consistency in their product, and that's not easy to do. And managing new talents and all the logistics and ins and outs of starting a new company. So we're going to have to see about that. And so next week, I already have it decided in my brain. Next week will be the Wrestling Nostalgia segment of back to No Way Out 2003. Eric Bischoff versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that is going to be, at least for me, a moment that I will not soon forget. That was when Stone Cold ended up leaving the company. Was it No Way Out 2003 or 2004? Let me take a look here. No, it was 2003. 2004 was actually just as magical, with Eddie Guerrero defeating Brock Lesnar for the WWF Undisputed Championship. It was WWE, I believe, at the time. WWE. That was magic too. And Eddie Guerrero was one of my favorite stars ever. He just had something that came through the screen, and it was absolutely something that can't be duplicated. So maybe that'll be somewhere down the line as well, with Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar. But next week will be Stone Cold versus Eric Bischoff at No Way Out the year prior, 2003, when Stone Cold returned from his 8-month hiatus of taking his ball and going home. So there's a lot I'm reserving myself on saying there, but I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a tease as to what I will be talking about next week with my Wrestling Nostalgia segment. So really looking forward to that. And some other quick notes before I wrap things up. Well, I guess I'm wrapping things up by giving you some quick notes, right? So this whole Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse deal, and I tweeted this out earlier. Apparently there are stockholders, shareholders, and some of the public who are encouraging WWE to put the poo-poo on this Bray Wyatt character because it's bringing kids into it. Oh, that's a Firefly Funhouse there. They're mimicking a child show, and you hear kids in the fake studio audience who are cheering for him and booing him. Have they forgotten that it's just that? That it's a it's not a real child show WWE is putting on? And that, oh, they're watching wrestling? Has anybody, did they forget that? Are we really that soft? I said this before. I'll say it again. I'm standing by it. We are living in 2019 in such a soft victim mentality of a world right now where everybody feels they have a voice. Everybody feels that everything should be equal. Everybody has this victim mentality of I'm being targeted. I'm being picked on. This is such a soft world that we live in. We can't even watch wrestling. That's, by the way, a PG show, parental guidance. So if your three-year-old is watching this show that you're concerned about, and they're going to take this show serious and they're going to have nightmares from, well, maybe you should do the P part of the PG and be a parent for parental guidance. I mean, really, let's use our brains. So those of you that are out there thinking, oh, this is so dark, oh my God, you have no idea the things that WWE has done. You think this is dark? Just Google Katie Vick. Google Triple H in funeral home. Just do that. If you want to see some stuff that's really messed up, and yes, this of course is way prior to them going public. But are you kidding me? I would love to have anybody come on this show and challenge me to why this is a bad gimmick. Not because that Bray Wyatt's going to fail or just stupid. For the specific reason that it's not good for children. Please, I am begging on my knees for somebody to come on this show and debate me why that is it's such a bad thing. We have to shelter our kids. Oh my God, I don't want my child watching these things. Then be a parent, shut the TV off, put on Blue's Clues, and live your soft snowflake life. Really, please. So anybody who can intelligently come on this show and give me a real argument as to why that the WWE should kill the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse character for the specific reason that it's not good for kids and they're getting into kids, which not one child has been on the show and you're hearing a fake studio audience, but nonetheless, for that argument, please, I'm asking you to come on this show because I would love to hear the actual reasoning in your brain for that, because I think WWE could be onto something. I know it's only been a week. I know it's only been a week with Bray Wyatt and the Firefly Funhouse, and this could completely fall on its face and be terrible. I'm not debating that this is going to be a career-changing, life-altering, straight-to-the-main-event type of gimmick that is for Bray Wyatt now, that's the effect it's going to have on Bray Wyatt's career. I'm not arguing that, because we have no idea. We have no idea. None. But right now they have me extremely interested in week one. I really can't wait for week two. I really can't. I think there's a lot of places they could go with this. A lot. So I'm willing to let it breathe, give it time. It was one of the most viewed videos, if not the biggest in terms of number of views count on WWE's YouTube channel out of the whole week. 2.7 million views. Now let's see if WWE can hold that interest, right? It's just like having the season debut of any returning TV show like Game of Thrones. People go crazy for it. I do too. I love the show. But the first show of the returning series is always the highest rated. And then it kind of just falls off. It's just the natural progression, cyclical nature of TV shows and audiences and their attention spans and curiosity. And then it just wanes. And then usually it spikes back up by the season finale. Just the way it is. But in this case, it's going to be interesting to see if WWE can hold that interest and they don't bomb it out or they don't just extinguish the fire that is the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse right now. So my little mini rant for those of you that are just waiting for me to complain so that you can say that I complain all the time. Well, there is your excuse. There's your reasoning, and there is your ammunition to fire back at me that I complain all the time. Not a complaint, because it's not about WWE. This is not about WWE. WWE did an awesome thing by doing this. I give them credit. I give all the production team credit. I give Bray Wyatt credit. All involved deserve credit for this. I know it's week one. Okay, I get that. But this is more of a shot at those who are super soft and can't handle a gimmick like this. Get a grip. Please. Please. All right. So with all those being said, guys, I want to thank you for joining me. I know it's a quick 30, I'm heading almost 35 minutes. And I want to thank you guys for joining me. I'll be back in just a few days with your weekly Raw and SmackDown review. Maybe I'll do one sooner. I'm on the road. I'm bringing my mic with me, so maybe I'll be able to give you guys a show if you are interested. And guess what? Maybe get lucky. So we'll see. We'll see. Thank you guys for joining me. As always, I'll talk to you next time. All right, guys, before you go anywhere, if you want a real way to gain passive monthly income, you should visit Dellosted Avid. It's DellostedAvid/bib-optin. So that's DellostedAvid/bib-optin. And if you follow the steps that are on the website, you could win your dream car. So check them out today.
Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.